Welcome back to our study of Matthew. We've just finished reading in chapter 23, verses 1 through 7, and we'd like to continue discussing what we've read, specifically drawing attention to a few words. Father, Rabbi, help me with the other.
We'll just start with verse 7, just start reading there.
Okay, there you go. How about 6? They love the place of honor at banquets, the front seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, to be called rabbi by people. But as for you, do not be called rabbi, because you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. Do not call anyone on earth your father, because you have one father who is in heaven. Do not be called masters either, because you have one master, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. There you go. Teacher is the word I couldn't think of.
Rabbi, which dealing, you know, you look at it, he's dealing with rabbi, master, teacher, father, and these are things that was common for that day. Today it's more of the bishop, the pastor, elder, whatever, apostle, prophet. I mean, we've got all kinds of things out there today. And what Jesus is saying is you have one. Who's the teacher, really? It's the Holy Spirit. I know there's gifts. I know that. But gifts that are operating under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, okay? And so, why is it that we're seeking a title? A person that needs a title as an insecurity. And I look, you know, in the medical field today, you know, people have to be called doctor. I believe in respect. I believe you give respect. But I think you can take that stuff to an extreme and you can forget who you are. I remember one time a person came to pastor the church, and when they came in, they said, person said, nobody calls me by my name, not even my wife. Everybody in the church calls me pastor. I thought, you got a problem, buddy. I mean, if you don't have a better relationship with your wife and she just calls you pastor, we got a problem here. But it's a tremendous insecurity is what it is. And so the emphasis here, this is why we will not use titles. And I believe I'm scripturally sound in that. Now, other people will try to put, if you do a funeral, they're going to put reverend. You know, I mean, that's just their deal, okay? And I know they're trying to be respectful, and I'm not going to say anything about that, but I can tell you right now, I'm not going to put no REV in front of my name or none of the rest of it. You know, I'll tell you a humorous thing. You know, I was a mechanic for years before I went into ministry. And then when I did go into ministry, I ended up pastoring, as people call it, the church that I had been in for several years. And a lady came to me and she said, now that you're our pastor, what do we call you? We call you Pastor Pete, Pastor Bumgarner. They'd always call me Pete. What do we call you? I said, well, my name didn't change. And you never called me Mechanic Pete. And so why would you want to call me Pastor Pete? I know they were trying to be respectful. See, and that's what the part, well, we want to be respectful. I said, well, calling me by my first name is not disrespectful. You can call me Pastor and stab me in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, they'll do it in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can call me on a first name basis and defend me. You understand? And so we got to get out of this title mentality that's so prevalent today. So prevalent today. And I'm probably the extreme the other way because of some experiences that I've run into. I remember I went to Africa, and I won't say which country. We'll just leave it to the continent, okay? But I went, and this bishop who had invited me over, I mean, all we ever called him was bishop, okay? Well, he took me to a some place, I don't know, a different church than where I'd been. We went out there, and the first thing he did, we got out, he said, "Now," he introduced me to this guy. I'm Apostle so-and-so. And this is not an exaggeration. This is true. Another guy, he said, "I'm Prophet so-and-so." Another guy said, "I'm Pastor so-and-so." Another guy said, "I'm Deacon so-and-so." And I thought to myself, does anybody hear another name? It's insecurity. You understand? I'm going to tell you right now, if you're secure in the Lord and you're secure in what God's called you to do, you don't care what they call you. I don't care what you call me. I know who I am. You understand? And we have to get to that place. Jesus said, "You call me Master. I am, but look at what I'm doing. I'm washing your feet." That's what a servant does. I'm not here lording over you. I am here serving you. And we have to get that mentality. I don't care if you're the overseer of 1,000 people. Serve them. Don't get them bowing down to you. You're not God. And this is basically where he's coming from. People are putting themselves up on a pedestal. If I understand it right, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which he hates, you see it in Revelation, he hates that doctrine. From what I've researched, that is where they have laity and clergy.
Mm-hmm.
Get it right. Clergy, laity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Separation. Superior. Is the body of Christ separated? Is your body? Which member of your body is more important? I mean, if you don't think one part's important, let's cut it off. The truth of the matter is every member of the body is important. Do you know that my little finger and my little toe go by the name of Pete? You get where I'm coming from?
Oh, we get it.
Jesus' body, every member of the body of Christ has that name Jesus over them. You see what I'm saying? Kim, you'll be all right in a minute. And we've got to learn this. Now, be secure in being born again. I'm a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's my head? Jesus Christ. You understand? And then we just all work together in different functions, and every function's important. I really pulled a trigger here. How about bailing me out here, baby?
Well, I was thinking about you were asking about. I was just thinking about the separation, just in the natural. Have you ever heard somebody have their shoulder separated? Or, you know, we call it dislocation. It's extremely painful. And so I was thinking about the analogy of that, but spiritually, it's painful when we're separated because the body doesn't function the way it should. And so that pain, it infiltrates and it hurts. It hurts its members. It hurts those around. So I was giggling, of course, about, but I've also, you go ahead.
Many years ago, I had a guy, he was a friend, he was a Catholic priest. But I would not call him Father. Because of this scripture right here, I'm not going to call him Father. I have one Father, my Heavenly Father. I'm not calling him Father. And I called him by his first name. And he called me by my first name. And we had an excellent relationship. You understand? I'm not being disrespectful to him. They're out of order. It's not in line with the Word of God. Don't ask me to violate the Word of God by putting some title on you. You follow what I'm saying? And we need to think before we act. And start looking at why is it that I want to be called Master, Rabbi, Teacher, Reverend, Doctor, Father, whatever the title is. Why do I want to be called that? I know who I am. And I'm all right with that. I know who God is. And I'm down here as a little toe, you understand? So we're going to keep those things in perspective. And he says, if you exalt yourself, then you'll end up being humbled. You'll be abased. Let God exalt you. I was in a particular country, and I had preached that morning. This is sort of crazy because I like to minister one-on-one. And I preached, the atmosphere was set for the laying on of hands. But they wanted to usher me out of that church to go to another church to preach, and somebody else did the ministry, I suppose. So I go across town to this other church, and they take me in, and they set me down in this, you know, nice chair, and I'm sitting there, and they're praising, you know, the music and all is going on, and in a few minutes, this guy gets up, which I assume to be the pastor of the church. He gets up, and he comes over to me, and he has a piece of paper and a pencil, and he says, I don't know how to introduce you. So I took the pencil, and I wrote Pete Bumgarner. And I gave it back to him. I was as innocent as I could be. So he took the paper and he went over and sat down and he smiled and he got up and he came back over there. He said, now how do I introduce you? I said, that's how you introduce me. That's my name. Blew him away. You know? Forget all that garbage. Forget all that garbage. You're representative of the Lord. You understand? And that's with a little R. Paul did not call himself Apostle Paul. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. What he was saying is, I'm a delegate of Jesus. I have been sent to represent Jesus. When he says we're ambassadors for Christ, that's with a lowercase a. You understand? Not Ambassador John, but John the Ambassador. An ambassador, okay? And we have to keep this in perspective. It'll help keep your pride issue down. Because if you feel like you have to go by some title, then you're setting yourself up for fall. Because you're letting pride keep in. And you've got to keep that pride out of there. I know who I am as far as this college goes, as far as this church goes. I know who I am. Why do I want a title? Here's what I know. I have responsibility. That ought to be enough to fill your plate without any titles, okay? So, don't try to exalt yourself. If the Lord wants you promoted, let the Lord promote you. Don't try to promote yourself. Don't stand up and tell everybody all your great achievements. Talk to people about how good God is. Amen.
Your gift makes room for you. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You lock up the kingdom of heaven from people. You don't go in, and you don't allow those entering to go in.
Let's look at that verse.
Let's do.
Now, you understand, this is the religious elite.
Yes.
Well, he's talking about, you know, your scribes and your Pharisees. What does he call them?
Hypocrites.
Hypocrites. What's a hypocrite? Someone that is presenting themselves to be one thing, but in at gut level, at heart level, there's something else. In other words, it's a facade. It's just a religious facade that people put up. And then here's what he's saying is, you shut up, or you lock the door to where people can't get into where God rules. The kingdom of God is where God rules. It's God's dominion. You talk about God, but you won't let the people enter into personal relationship with God. You want to bring them into a relationship with religion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what's going on in the world today. People want to bring people into a relationship with a denomination or with an organization or a church. You know, you start talking to somebody, they tell you what church they go to, what denomination they belong to, or what they are. You know, I'm a blank and I'll die a blank. We could say idiot. You know where I'm coming from? People get hung up on those things. Why not say, you know, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't go out promoting your church. Don't go out promoting some denomination or organization. Go out and talk about Jesus. And you know, just let the Lord build the house instead of you trying to build it. You follow me? But this is what I learned early on when I was in denomination. This is a living reality. To shut the door to the kingdom of God. In 1990 and 91, somewhere right in there, the Lord just opened up. I'd never heard anybody teach on the kingdom of God. The Lord just opened that up to me one day. And I taught for 11 weeks, or for 11 sessions, on the kingdom of God. And I started seeing things. Then I realized that denomination was keeping people out of the kingdom of God. Churches will talk about God, but they don't want you to totally submit to God. If you do, they don't have power over you. If God's kingdom's ruling you, their denomination can't. You with me? Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus is dealing with right here. You shut the door to the kingdom of God. You want power over them. You want to control them. You don't want God to have dominion over them. Said he, woe to you, hypocrites. And he'd say the same thing today. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Look at verse 14. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You devour widows' houses and make long prayers just for show. This is what...
You notice that they don't go in to the kingdom of God?
Mm.
And they prevent those who would.
Mm-hmm.
They're blocking the door. I was in a particular country, and I was ministering in this... It was a pretty large church, and I got a... It was like just a mini vision. The only way I know how to say it, that the bishop was standing in the doorway keeping God from the congregation. Because if he let God in, he was going to lose control. That they would reach out to the King of Kings. And then he wouldn't be as important. You follow me? I'll never forget that. And this is what he's talking about. You won't go in and you won't let the people. You're stopping them from getting to God. Take them. You'll take them to religion, but you stop it right there. And you don't let them go into personal relationship with God. They want you to have a corporate relationship, not a personal relationship. As a matter of fact, there's teaching going on right now that tells you there's no such thing as personal salvation. Well, I know something about you if that's what you believe, because my God is personal. My salvation is personal. I didn't get it on the buddy plan. I didn't get it in a corporate setting. You understand? It is personal relationship. I'm being funny tonight, not trying, I guess. Anyway, get into the kingdom of God. Let the Lord rule you, okay?
But listen to what he says. The consequence. This is why you will receive a harsher punishment. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to make one proselyte, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as fit for hell as you are.
All right, let's stop there. Let's look at verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
It says that you devour widows' houses. How are they doing that? I'm telling mm-hmm. you, it's almost, to me, criminal, spiritually criminal anyway, to see what's going on in churches and how they're exploiting mm-hmm. women. Widows. How they're exploiting them. They're taking from them, you know, even to the point of bringing an attorney in to draw up a will and dedicating services to writing wills and then encouraging people to give a percent to the church. Give your money to your family. Let the family decide what they want to do with that. Don't try to take people's property from them and put them on some guilt trip. If you love the Lord, I mean, just think about your church home and all that, and you know, just give 10%. If you've tithed all year, just give 10% of your life insurance and all that stuff. I don't have a problem with that. If you want to do that of your own volition, that's fine. If you came up with that idea, that's fine. But if you were coerced into that, then that's wrong. Don't devour the widows' houses. You should be supplying to them instead of trying to get everything they've got. And this is another problem I have with churches. They teach giving, but they always want to get.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe in giving as a church, why don't you give? You understand? You're going to teach tithes and tithes. This church tithes. We tithe to other ministers. You understand? If I'm going to tell you to give 10%, then we need to be giving 10%. So the church should be setting the example. But it's always got its hand out, and that's why people are so turned on to church. Well, if you go to church, all they want is your money. I had a guy, you know, said, I said, I don't want your stinking money, keep it. Not after your money, not after your soul. You understand? The churches have, they've developed the reputation they have. It's their own fault. Because they want to take advantage of people. No, the church is here to serve people. And you know, God blesses us. We don't even pass an offering plate. There's nothing that, there's nowhere in this Bible tells you to pass an offering plate. You can't support that with Scripture. Better move out. It'll be empty in the Kleenex box, right? You can't support it with Scripture. I'll tell you what it does say, those of a willing heart give. And so, if you want to give, give. If you don't, you're under zero obligation. You're given to God anyway. Not to a church. That just happens to be the place that God receives it. To where He can bless you. You understand? The Word of God says it's more blessed to give than to receive. You ever heard that? Especially right before they take an offering, right? Have you ever heard them use that and then start handing out money? See how you manipulate the Scriptures and get it all wrong? And I'm going to tell you, religion has done that. Religion has taken advantage of people. Then he goes on, he says, you know, you'll go to extreme efforts to get a proselyte. In other words, you want to get someone into your church. You'll do whatever it takes to get someone into your church. You get them in there, he said, they're twice the son of hell. They were just a heathen. Now they're a religious heathen. Those are the hardest ones to reach. You understand? Because then they justify everything. You know, I go to church, I pay my tithes, I do this, I do that. You ever been born again? Well, I believe in Jesus. So does the devil. Have you ever been born again? Has your nature changed? That's what we have to look at. Okay?
This is serious business.
You want to keep reading?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever takes an oath by the sanctuary, it means nothing. But whoever takes an oath by the gold of the sanctuary is bound by his oath. Blind fools, for which is greater, the gold or the sanctuary that sanctified the gold? Also, whoever takes an oath by the altar, it means nothing. But whoever takes an oath by the gift that is on it is bound by his oath. Blind people. For which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, the one who takes an oath by the altar takes an oath by it, and by everything on it. The one who takes an oath by the sanctuary takes an oath by it.
Now, just look at this. I mean, you want to talk about ignorance going to sea. This is about as stupid as you can be, but religion has proved itself to be stupid in a lot of cases over stuff like this. Because he look what Jesus is calling them. Guides, but they're blind.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you want to take a tour of somebody to show you the sights and they're blind? You wouldn't follow a blind guide. But that's what Jesus is calling them. Here you are, you're supposed to be guiding people to God, and you're so blind you don't know how to get there yourself. And then he starts getting specific here. You say, well, if somebody, you know, swears by the altar, you can get out of that. But you can't swear by the sacrifice on the altar. Now, if the sacrifice is on the altar, then you're going to be held accountable. Jesus said, well, which is greater? My paraphrase, the meat on the altar or the altar that's burning the meat? You understand? That's what it was doing. Sacrificing the meat. Cooking it. Baking it. Whatever you want to call it. Okay? So which is greater? Obviously the altar is greater. And then he goes on. Then they say the gold. The temple. He says, I have a solution. Don't swear.
Mm-hmm.
That'll solve the problem. Don't swear. Don't swear by the altar. Don't swear by the sacrifice on the altar. Don't swear by the temple. Don't swear by the gold in the temple. Now, he goes on. You can finish reading.
Okay. And the one who takes an oath by heaven takes an oath by God's throne and by him who sits on it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites.
Well, let's talk about don't swear by heaven. How many times have you ever heard, and I hope you don't say this, I swear to God. You don't even know what you're saying.
Mm-mm.
That's a foolish phrase right there. Can your yes be yes and your no, no? Can I not believe you when you tell me something that I have to bring you into an oath? Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no, no. He said anything more than that is going to end up in sin. It's yes inside it. I know if you go to a court, you have to swear or whatever, okay? But where did that come into being? Somebody couldn't trust somebody.
That's right.
So if I have to swear to you, that means I can't trust you. Or if you have to swear to me, it means I can't trust you. You know, I can remember the time growing up, the phrase, your words, your bond. You did deals off of a handshake. Try that today. No, they've got their lawyers out there and contracts with fine print and all this type of stuff. Why is that? Because people were taking advantage of people. People's words cease to be any good. One thing I appreciate so much about my dad, he held you accountable to your word. He said, if you give your word, then if it costs you, you keep your word. Don't you tell somebody you'll do something and not do it. Now, he'd wear you out if you broke your word. And I thank God for that. But I can tell you this. He set an example, a man of absolute integrity. If he told you something, take it to the bank. You didn't even have to question it. And that's the way it should be with born-again believers. When we tell someone something, they should believe it. I had a friend, a minister friend, and he was riding down the road, and he was selling something, and his son, who was, I don't know, elementary age, I guess, he said, Daddy, is that true, or are you just preaching? Now, I want you to think about that. This is a kid out of the mouths of babes. You understand? And you'd be surprised how much of that goes on. No, if I can't trust you in your daily life, how can I trust you with my spiritual life? In other words, you don't keep your word during the week, but you can expect me to listen to your word on Sunday. Something wrong with that picture, isn't it? You don't swear by heaven. You don't swear by earth. You say what you mean. You mean what you say, and you back it up. They call that integrity. And it needs to be reestablished in this nation. It needs to be reestablished in the church. You've got to get it in the church before you can get it in the nation. Okay? So we've got to learn to let our yes be yes and our no, no. Has God ever spoken to your heart and you say, you swear by that? Think about it. Why wouldn't you say that? You trust Him. You know how I get your trust? I earn it. You know how I earn it? By keeping my word to you. And if I don't violate my word, you'll learn to trust me. But if I violate my word, you'll try to get me into some type of swearing. Or some type of contract or whatever. You understand what I'm coming from? That's more serious than anybody thinks. And one of the biggest places that this is abused is with young children going up. You ever tell one, if you do that again, I'm going to spank you. You know what? If he does that again, boom. It's not if you do that again. I remember being in somebody's house and the boy was misbehaving. His daddy kept saying, you do that again, I'm going to take my belt off. You do that again, I'm going to take my belt off. I thought, let me take your belt off. I straighten this kid out. I mean, you won't take long. That's not abuse. It's discipline. You're teaching them to resist the devil because they're acting like the devil because there's an influence there. And so you teach them to resist. But you know what happens? You don't do it, the kid knows there's no consequence. I do what I want to him. You know, oh, he'll say he's going to do this, he'll say he's going to do that, but he won't ever do it. I just believe if you say it, do it.
You understand? And that works both ways. Not just in misbehaving, but if you say you're going to reward them for something or you're going to take them somewhere, then do it. Do it to your own hurt. If something else is that, keep your word. Keep your word to your kids. It starts there in your own house. You keep your word. And then it filters out into everything else you do. On the job, in the church, or whatever, people know that you keep your word. I'll be there at 7 o'clock and you show up at 10 after. Well, I know right now I can't trust you. So you need to be good for your word. And I need to stop because I've been told my time's up.
Hmm.
Okay. So we'll stop there. What verse are we on?
23.
Excuse me?
23.
Okay, we'll pick back up there in the next session.
Okay.
All right? You all right, Kim? Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. The Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. You guys have a great weekend.